I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Thousands of very wealthy investors saw millions disappear when Bernard Madoff's alleged Ponzi scheme collapsed. Late last year, the former chairman of the Nasdaq Stock Exchange was charged with orchestrating the largest investor fraud ever committed by an individual. Along with high-profile investors, nonprofits are taking a hit. In a moment, we'll speak with one organization that now finds itself without key support. But first, let's hear from Boyce Watkins. He is a finance professor at Syracuse University in New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So just to bring everybody up to speed, you've got Bernard Madoff. What specifically is he accused of doing?
Well, Bernard Madoff is accused of running a Ponzi scheme, which a lot of us have heard about, but maybe we don't understand exactly how they work. Basically, Ponzi schemes are really built on three concepts, and that's greed, ignorance, and viral marketing. And so effectively, what you do if you want to run a Ponzi scheme, which you shouldn't do because you'll go to jail for it, is you offer extraordinarily high returns to investment, which because everybody is greedy, everybody wants to make more money, et cetera, et cetera. And then what you do is you rely on the ignorance of the investors, traditionally, historically, meaning the inability of the investor to understand complicated financial terms like global currency arbitrage, hedge futures trading, things like that. You make it sound sophisticated. And then you rely on viral marketing, because when people make money, they tend to talk about it. And effectively, though, at the end of the day, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, because the initial investors get their returns, which tend to be very high, from the latter investors. And eventually the whole scheme comes crumbling down. And that's what Madoff is accused of doing.
How does this affect nonprofits?
Well, a lot of people invested in Madoff's scheme. It was the largest Ponzi scheme in American history. He had about $50 billion in assets. And so a lot of nonprofits were built on this. Very sophisticated investors were built on this. There was an investor in Europe who lost over $1.4 billion in this scheme, and he actually committed suicide in 2008. And, you know, effectively, a lot of nonprofits, pension funds, cities and governments across the world were investing in Madoff's scheme because he seemed to have figured out a formula to make a lot of money, when at the end of the day he was actually doing things that were unethical and ultimately illegal.
When you look ahead for the next 2 to 3 years, do you see this money reappearing for nonprofits specifically? Do you think people will find ways of replacing the funds, or do you think there's going to be a rough road for nonprofits?
Well, if they're looking for the money to come back from the Madoff scandal, the answer is no. You know, Madoff has spent a lot of that money, and a lot of that money will never be recovered. For nonprofits in general, I think the bigger threat to nonprofits is the economic downturn and the fact that a lot of charitable giving has declined substantially as a result of the economic struggles that we're having as a country right now. I do believe optimistically that within the year, the bulk of the recession will be over, and we can get back to business as usual, while at the same time there are some serious long-term problems in the economy which may not even reveal themselves for another 3 or 4 years.
It sounds like are there any potential sources that you can see that might replace some of the lost monies?
Well, you know, I can't really say for sure. I don't really think that that the model for nonprofit giving is going to change very much. I think that it's sort of like the weather. You know, when it's raining, you just come inside, or you get an umbrella and you wait the storm out. And I think that I know that here at Syracuse, for example, when we found that a lot of our giving had declined as a result of the economy, some of our investment strategies changed, where we managed our money, how we allocated our funds changed. We tightened our belt a little bit, and the hope is that you wait it out and things will eventually get better. I don't think that the model for giving is going to change very much.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
We were talking with Boyce Watkins, professor of finance at Syracuse University in New York and founder of YourBlackWorld.com. And last week we brought you a second listen to a story about work by the Innocence Project of Texas. It's a not-for-profit dedicated to overturning wrongful convictions. As it turns out, they're one of the organizations slammed by the Madoff scandal. Jeff Blackburn is the chief counsel there. Welcome.
welcome and to you. Thank you very much for having me.
So we got to speak to your organization about Timothy Cole, who died in prison about, you know, after being wrongly convicted of rape, a very tragic story, and one where you have been instrumental in exposing what's happened and working to exonerate him, and in fact having another hearing coming up in February. So what kinds of funds give you the resources to do this kind of work?
Well, until the news of the Madoff scandal broke, and it broke on us like a real tsunami. We had no way of seeing this coming. We had received a grant from an organization called the Jet Foundation, which funded a lot of our work in Dallas County, which has in turn enabled us to put a lot more volunteer effort into cases like Tim Cole's and other parts of the state. But as it turns out, the Jet Foundation was pretty much supported solely by one donor, and that donor had all of their money tied up with Bernie Madoff's scheme. So the consequence, not just for us, but for dozens of criminal justice reform groups throughout the country, is that effectively our either primary or sole funding sources are gone. And frankly, we're scrambling here now. We are not in good shape. It's going to be, fortunately, the Texas legislature is getting ready to convene, and it's going to be up to them to step up. You know, the state of Texas caused our problem here. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, sure. The state of Texas, through the system that we have created and let go on for the last 20 to 30 years, has turned itself into not just sort of a cruel joke in the criminal justice world, but a false conviction machine. It's not for nothing that we have gotten as many folks out of prison in Texas, especially in Dallas, as we have. There are certainly a lot more to get out here, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But the primary reason is that we've suffered from a convicted all-cost mentality. We have elected judges, elected DAs, and the net result has been that a lot of poor people who couldn't afford good lawyers have just simply been framed and falsely convicted.
Well, let me jump back into the finance issues, and certainly we do want to follow up as we have been on the big picture of what's going on in Texas and give folks a ping within the legal system there. But your whole reason for existing is because there are flaws in the system. So given that that's the fact, and given that you have to try to scramble to find this money, are you expecting the state to now pony up for the work that you're doing to challenge them?
Well, we're certainly asking them. Expecting much from the state of Texas is a tricky proposition, especially when it comes down to criminal justice reform. Although there are a lot of encouraging signs with this legislature, and I think that, frankly, a lot of legislators have now decided that there really is a crisis in this state with the number of folks that we've been able to get out, and that the Innocence Project nationally has been able to get out here. So we're hopeful that that they're going to have some impetus to really step up and do the right thing.
Finally, when you think about your options, you mentioned you're not in good shape. You're looking to the state. If the state doesn't ante up, could you close?
It's conceivable. Under the current setup that we've got, like, let's just say things remained absolutely the same, that there was no increase from the state, we would be able to operate a small clinical program out of one law school, but its ability to get much done would be pretty severely hampered. The key to us, because it's such a huge state and there are so many cases and we have a gigantic prison system, is being able to mobilize lawyers and volunteers and law students from all over the state instead of just one little town or one little region. So it's critical for us to really do our job right, to be able to get more money. In the meantime, we're preparing to do what the previous guest or the professor said, and that's, you know, we're looking to get the umbrellas out and try to get through this rainy day.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
We were speaking with Jeff Blackburn, chief counsel at the Innocence Project of Texas, talking about the impact of the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme, alleged Ponzi scheme, on their funding and work.